Levi Greenspan.
B'shus to Rosh Yeshiva Shlita. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
B'shus to Rosh Yeshiva Shlita. The Rabbanim, the Mashpiach, Rabbi Yoshev. So, my name is Levi Greenspan. And I'll tell you a true story. When I was learning here in Israel for the year, actually it was 2 years, a friend went to be Levi, must be short for Leviticus. So some guy actually called my house once and go, "Can I please speak to Leviticus?" My father goes, "I'm sorry, he just took an Exodus." So if you like to take an Exodus, some of my shidduch, they do it all the time to me. We saw in Tazria Mitzora that, you know, when the guy unfortunately spoke Lashon Hara, and he had tzaras, he had to go running around through the Machane of Yisrael saying, "I'm tummy, I'm tummy, I'm tummy." And what's pshat? So Klai Yisrael would daven for him. Klai Yisrael, beg Hashem, please send him a refuah shleima, please heal him. So what's pshat? The pshat is Hashem saying to every yid, whether you do a veil or not, whether you do my mitzvahs or not, you are still my kinderlach. I love you whether you follow my ways or not. You are still my children, you are my children, you will always be my children. And he saw this in Yetzias Mitzrayim. We've reached the 49th level of Tumah, Shmutz, and Hashem took us out of Egypt, the Kriyas Yamsuf. Why? Because Hashem loves us. We are His precious children, and He is our Tati. And you see from the following story how important to have bitachon and emunah to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu Abrahaman, and that we are His precious children. A little bit over 15 years ago, I started Fordham Law School in Manhattan, and I used to live up near YU so I can be near Base Medish so I can steig and learn Torah. So I used to take a subway every day to Fordham. Fordham somewhere in the 60s in Manhattan. And around October, November, I started to notice that every time I got off the subway, I always had to run towards the water fountain. I was always dying of thirst. So I thought maybe I have diabetes, because one of the signs of diabetes, you're always thirsty. So in January of 1995, I went to my doctor. He checked me out. He goes, "Levi, you don't have diabetes, but come back to me a month from now." So I figured, he said, come back to me a month from now. No need to go back to him at all. It's not an emergency. If it would be an emergency, he would say, come back tomorrow. So since he didn't tell me that, I continued on with law school. And from January to May, I started to notice that I used to wake up in the middle of the night, used to go to the bathroom, I was very hyper, very excited. So I really thought it had to be one of two issues. Either a psychological problem, or I just hate law school. In relation to a law school problem, I signed up for Worthwhile School of Social Work, they have a summer program. And in relation to a psychological issue, I started to go see a psychologist. It was around May time, in between my first and second session, or my first and second time with the psychologist, when my beloved mother goes to me, "You know, Levi, you haven't been back to the doctor for a long time. Why don't you go get a checkup? Go for a visit. Go see your doctor." So I went to my doctor. He took one look at my face. I had this big, fat, bloated face. I can't even describe it. He took one look at my face and he goes, "You have Cushing's disease. You have a benign tumor." He then sent me to Mount Sinai Hospital to an incredible, incredible endocrinologist, Dr. Levine, where an MRI and a CAT scan was ordered to be taken on me in order to find the tumor. They located the tumor on the pituitary gland right below the brain. I was then sent to the neurosurgery department where they told me I would need two operations in order to remove the tumor. One was a 9.5 hour open head surgery, and another was a 6 hour operation through the nose. I can't tell you, but I owe tremendous, tremendous gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that both operations were successful, and Baruch Hashem, besides them being successful, I survived both of them. About 2 weeks later, I had a checkup with one of my newer surgeons. About a day or two before the checkup, I noticed something strange, something unique. I seemed to have a lot of mucus in my nose. So when I went for the checkup with the newer surgeon, I said, "Doctor, is it normal I should have such mucus in my nose after having such operations?" He goes, "That's not mucus. You're leaking fluid from your head. You have a CSF leak." He then told me I would need another 4 hour operation through the nose to close up that leak. When I woke up from that surgery, I go, "Doctor, I think I have news you don't want to hear. I really believe I'm still leaking. I don't think the operation was successful." He replied, "You're just imagining. I'm telling you, Mr. Greenspan, your operation was successful. You're not leaking anymore. You see, when we take the cotton out of your nose, you see all it is dry blood. I'm telling you, you're not leaking. You're just imagining." Sure enough, when he took the cotton out of my nose, I was still leaking. I then had to undergo another 6-hour open head surgery to close up that leak. So during that summer of 1995, I had a total of 4 surgeries. After the 4th operation, they told me my vision would not be 20/20, because they told me in order to get to the tumor, they had to knock the optic nerve out of its place. But they said the vision would restore itself. I forgot whether it was October, November, December, but I got back my vision. I, Baruch Hashem, could see completely fine. I didn't even need glasses. Around February or March of 1996, I started to notice that every time I ate, food would come flying out of my mouth onto my clothes. So I got in contact with the Dr. Bookbinder at Mount Sinai Hospital, and he said to me, "Due to all the operations, scar tissue wrapped around your jaw, and that's why you can't open your mouth fully, and that's why food is falling out. You're now going to require another 1.5-hour surgery, in and out the same day, to cut away that scar tissue." After I recovered from that surgery, from that operation, I started to undergo radiation treatment to remove what was left of the tumor. Baruch Hashem, I only went once a week over a 5-week period, and Baruch Hashem, I had no nausea and no hair loss whatsoever. The radiation was very minute, was very small. But when the treatments were finished and the radiation was completed, I was hoping this would be the last time I need to step foot in any hospital, even Mount Sinai, except maybe for an occasional checkup, but hopefully no more operations, no more surgeries, no more radiation, no more major medical procedures. I was hoping this whole story, this whole episode of my life was coming to an end, was coming to a conclusion. In August of 1997, a friend of mine, Jonathan Kaplan, was getting married in St. Louis, Missouri, and my sister's in-laws happened to live in St. Louis, and at the same time as Jonathan Kaplan's wedding, my sister's in-laws were going to Eretz Yisrael for their own son's wedding. So they said to me, "Levi, you can stay at our house, drive our car, do whatever you want, make your home, make yourself feel at home." So I was driving my sister's in-laws' car around St. Louis, and I was backing it up into their driveway, into their garage. I hit the side wall of their garage, but I didn't make much of it. I figured, whatever reason, I didn't see the side wall. About a week later, when I returned back to New York City, my sister and brother-in-law were coming back from that wedding in Eretz Yisrael, and my father goes to me, "You know, Levi, I'll drive my car to the airport and you drive theirs." So I was driving on the Van Wyck Highway to JFK Airport when I cut a guy off. I went right in front of him. But the only problem was, I didn't see him in any of the mirrors. I can't tell you how much gratitude, how much hakaras tov I owe to Hashem, that Baruch Hashem, no one got killed, no one got injured, and no car or vehicle was damaged in any manner, form, or shape. But I realized there was something wrong with my eyesight, with my vision, if I couldn't see a car in back of me. So I went to one ophthalmologist who referred me to another, who said to me, "No need to get concerned. You'll come once or twice a week to my office, you'll sit in front of the computer, you'll do computer exercises, and you see, your vision will restore itself. Don't worry, you're not going to lose your eyesight, you'll be okay." So every Sunday, I used to go to that ophthalmologist office maybe once or twice a week, but I started to notice that my vision was decreasing. Every day I was seeing less and less and less. So I realized there was something wrong. So I went to a Dr. Joe Mindell. He's a newer ophthalmologist at Mount Sinai Hospital. And by the time I went to see him, I could no longer see out of my left eye. He said to me, "There's no way I can guarantee there's no way for me to get back the eyesight you lost, nor can I guarantee you're going to see for the rest of your life." Now, I don't fully remember how I reacted when I was told that I'm going to lose my vision, so I'm going to go blind, but I imagine I was not jumping for joy. But Baruch Hashem, I'm blessed with a beautiful, loving, incredible family, and they did some homework, and they found out about Dr. Scott Foreman at Westchester County Medical Center. Dr. Foreman has a technique called the hyperbaric chamber. What that is, it's a glass tube. You line it for 2 hours at a time, twice a day, and you receive oxygen. Dr. Foreman told me by going into the chamber twice a day for 2 hours apiece and receiving oxygen, he can keep the vision I have. He can't get back the eyesight I lost, but he can keep the vision I have. And every time you enter or leave the hyperbaric chamber, a nurse takes your temperature. So one day I was leaving, and the nurse took my temperature. And she goes, you know, Levi, you have 103. Is anyone at home? Who do you want me to call? Who should I get in contact with? Now, I don't fully remember, but I imagine I must have told, give me some Tylenol, some Advil. I'm an adult. I can take care of myself. Again, I owe tremendous gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She didn't listen to me. The nurse put me on the side for observation. She watched me, monitored me. My temperature went up to 105, and I went unconscious. I was unconscious for 3 full days. I had meningitis. When I woke up, they transported me back to Mount Sinai Hospital, which is located in Manhattan, via an ambulance, where I then needed to undergo another 6-hour open-head surgery, which was my 6th operation. After I recovered, I went back to Dr. Foreman in Westchester County, and I go, could I continue going into chamber? Could I continue receiving oxygen? I was hoping he was going to say, yes, Levi, we're going to give you oxygen. We're going to save your eyesight. Don't worry, you're not going to go blind. You will see. But you know what he said to me? We can put you in the chamber, and we can give you oxygen, but I'm not sure it's going to be successful since the treatments were interrupted. Around Hanukkah of 1997, I lost my vision completely. I became 100% totally blind. I'm not going to lie to you, but that Hanukkah was probably my most difficult Hanukkah of my life. This was the first time since I was a little kid that my father had to hold my hand to light the menorah. You know, Hanukkah is probably the few yontifs where eyesight is required, whether it's looking at your menorah or walking the beautiful streets here, Bokshem, in Yerushalayim, or Kurdish, or wherever you live, seeing menorahs in other people's windows, seeing the flame, the wick, the oil, seeing how beautiful it is, how incredible it is, thanking Hashem for that He gave you, thanking Hashem that you're still alive. So I can tell you, I can thank Hashem for that He gave me, and I can thank Hashem for keeping me alive, but I can't look at other people's menorahs, let alone my own. You know what it means not to be able to look at Daf or Gemara? Not to read a machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, or to read the Geshmaka words of Rabbi Akiva, or the holy words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai or Shimon bar Yochai? Not to read a Rashi or Tosfos? You know what it means to sit in a Beis Medrash and people are quoting a Rambam, and you have no idea what they're talking about? Or you want to look up Allah and the Mishnah Berurah, Shmi or Shabbos, Kehilchasa, and you can't do it? You know what it means to be sitting in shul and they're laning, and you have no idea what pasuk or what perek they're up to? And I'm not going to lie to you, sometimes I daydream. You know what it means to be at a Shabbos table and they're discussing a Rashi on the local week, on the local Sedra, and you have no idea what they're talking about? Or during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, have someone stand next to you when you dive an incredible man, Robert Spitz, he's an incredible Jew? Or to have 5 nephews and nieces, have no idea how they look? Or to wake up in the morning and you can't admire Hashem's incredible, beautiful creations, such as a bird, a tree, a piece of grass, a sunshine, a moon, or rain or snow, or to put clothes on in the morning, have no idea what color they are, or to have food put in front of you, have no idea what you're about to eat, or to be here in Eretz Yisrael, crushing Yerushalayim, your Kurdish, and you can't see the beauty, the greatness, the elegance of this beautiful city. Or last night, David Owitz and I went to the Kotel. I can't even see the Kotel. You know, there's a halacha that when you go to the Kotel and you have not been there for 30 days, you have to tear your shirt out of a sign of mourning. Someone asked Rabbi Yosef Shlita and asked, what should I do? Rabbi Yosef said, no, he can't tear his shirt because he doesn't see it. And you know what it means to go to a Beis Medrash and you can't see the most beautiful sight of all? You can't see a Yid, a Jew, learning Torah. I went blind in my last semester of law school, so my sister, Marit Wolf, is a lawyer, and Baruch Hashem, she helped me out with one of the finals, and Baruch Hashem, I passed it. These two other individuals, David Becker and Seth Berkowitz, one was in law school and the other one graduated. Baruch helped me with the other final, and Baruch Hashem, I passed it. Then an organization called the Lighthouse for the Blind came over my house, and they put little buttons on my microwave or my oven so I can feel it to use it. They told me to notify my entire family that nothing and nothing in my house can get moved without telling me. The milk, the orange juice, and the water all has to stay in the exact same spot in the refrigerator. If someone moves it doesn't tell me, I'm going to pour orange juice into my cereal thinking that's milk. All the doors of my house have to be closed. If someone keeps a little ajar, I'll smack my head right into a door. If someone puts a package on my living room floor and doesn't tell me, I'll kick it across the room like a football. Maybe I can try out for the Detroit Lions. I hear they're pretty pathetic. If someone puts a hot coffee, a hot chocolate, or soup on the table and doesn't tell me, I'll knock it all over the place, which I did by accident in a different place in Brooklyn. At the end of law school, as all you know, is the bar exam. So the course that prepares you for the bar exam is called Barbary. And that course was sued a couple years back by blind individuals. So they put the whole course onto cassette tape. Besides that, I live in Hillcrest, Queens with David Rosen. And two people in my neighborhood were contacted. One of them was Reverend Esther Krauss. And within 2 days, I had over 30 lawyers, 30 individuals, 30 Yidden, 30 Jews, who volunteered to come over one per night to help me study for the bar. The bar is usually 2 days, but disabled people like me, handicapped people like me, we get 4 days. And we're allowed to bring in any friends or relatives to ask us the questions, as long as they're not lawyers or law students. Now, I don't fully remember, but I think after 10, 11 volunteers, I didn't even need to ask people. People volunteered to take, individuals volunteered to take the exam with me. And Baruch Hashem, I passed the New York State Bar on the first try. And about 7, 8 years ago, I received smicha from YU. And I'm currently in a social work program, because unfortunately I lost my law job, but I'm in a social work program on Sunday that's run by Rebbetzin Volker. So people ask me what made me go on. What made me continue with my life? Why not stay home and cry for the rest of my life? Stay home and do nothing. So I tell you, there's 4 reasons I continued on with my life. Besides my family, and as I told you before, I thank Kaddish Baruch Hu for having such a beautiful, loving, amazing, great family. But besides my fantastic and incredible family, there are 4 reasons I continued on. The first one is the Ribono Shel Olam. I can't explain you this, but for wherever I go now in my life, I feel Hashem is holding my hand. I feel I'm walking side by side with Hashem, or Hashem is even carrying me. I'm going to tell you something crazy. I feel more closer to Hashem now than ever before in my life. When I daven, I feel I'm talking face to face, mouth to mouth, eye to eye to Hashem. And I have to tell you this, Hashem, when Hashem gives a Jew a nisayon, gives a Jew a test, Hashem is there holding your hand. Hashem wants you to pass the test. Hashem wants you to pass the nisayon he's giving you. But besides that, you should know that you're never alone in life. Wherever there's a Jew, Hashem is found. Whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, of course, America, Canada, even Vietnam or Korea or Germany or France or Italy. Wherever there's a Jew, Hashem is found. And you should know you're never alone. You can always talk to Hashem. Yes, you can talk to him in a base medrash or a shul, but even in your own bedroom, you can daven to Hashem. You can talk to Hashem like you talk to yourself, like you talk to a friend. You should know you're never alone. Hashem loves all of us. The second item that made me continue is my Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Parnas. I still remember when I was in the ICU before my first operation that you were not permitted to have a visitor at 9:30 in the morning in the ICU. And I still remember Rabbi Yehuda Parnas bending over my bed at 9:30 in the morning saying, Levi, I told the nurse I'm your rabbi. And she said I can have 1 minute. And that's all I need. I need to tell you one thing. I am there for you. I can't explain you this, but for the last 12 plus years, or the last 15 years since this whole episode of my life started, Rabbi Parnas has been there for my family and I. When you mention Rabbi Yehuda Parnas' name in my household, My family respects him, looks up to him, even views him as a father. So people ask me, how did I get so close to Rabbi Yehuda Parnas? So I tell you, when I could see, I asked him every question in the book. Am I doing this halacha correctly? Is this what I should be doing for summer vacation? Is this a proper outlook, the proper hashkafa I should have for my life? He was there in the good times, and in the so-called difficult times, so-called hard times, Rabbi Parnas has been a major, major pillar of support for my family and I. You, Bachum, are blessed with the incredible Rosh Yeshiva, incredible Mashkiach, incredible Rebbeim. I don't even need to name them. You know your Rosh Yeshiva, your Mashkiach, and your Rebbeim. Don't be embarrassed. Ask them any question in the book. Ask them even what bracha to make on the cereal. Is your tefillin in the correct place? To what you should do next year? To what you should do for Shabbos or summer vacation? Your Rosh Yeshiva, your Mashkiach, and your Rebbeim love you as their own children. I'm telling you this. I'm guaranteeing you this. And I tell you, the more you get closer to your Rebbeim and your Rosh Yeshiva and your Mashkiach, the more you're making them happy. Your Rebbeim, your Rosh Yeshiva and Mashkiach want to develop a kesher with you, want to develop a relationship with you. Don't be embarrassed. Ask them any question in the book. Because you'll see, they'll be there in the good times, and in the Chatz V'Shalom, if you should face so-called difficult times, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu with having your Rosh Yeshiva, your Mashkiach, and your Rebbeim there to be there to hold your hand. The third item that made me continue was Klal Yisrael, the Jewish community. I still remember my non-Jewish roommate in the hospital, both of them, if anyone visited them at all, was their family. I told you I have an incredible family, so my family is there day in and day out. Besides my family, I have tons and tons of amazing friends. I had Satma women, Orthodox doctors, people from a local shul in Manhattan called Oyev Tzedek, Mrs. Khan and this guy Mickey. I'm just guessing that the nurses must have been amazed and marveled and awed at how many visitors I had. But I don't need to tell you how beautiful Klal Yisrael is. I don't need to tell you how unique the Jewish people are. We see the chesed that Klal Yisrael does, from Camp Simcha to Camp Hess, to Beis Elder, to Mishkan, to Tom Chay Shabbos, to Hatzalah, and Yad Sarah here. Because Klal Yisrael is built on chesed. And all of us can do chesed. First of all, maybe bring a couple extra shekels if you know one of your friends might need money. Bring an extra pen to Beis Medrash because you know a friend might need a pen. If you know someone who's lonely, call them every day or every week just to wish them a good Shabbos. You don't realize what it means to someone who's lonely to get a phone call even once a week. It cheers up the world. You're building the Beis Hamikdash. All of us can do chesed. And that's what Hashem wants from us. Olam chesed yibane. The last item that made me continue is Torah. And I'm telling you, if Hashem made me blind to teach me the chashivas, to teach me the importance of learning Torah, then I understand why he made me blind. I can't tell you how much I miss Torah. I miss Torah tremendously. But through Torah, I realize that everything Hashem does is gamzu l'Torah. It's for my best, even so I might not understand how it's for my best. I don't know if you know this, but if you go to someone's house who doesn't learn Torah, who doesn't live Torah, who doesn't occupy themselves with Torah, they get consumed by the craziest things, like what color to paint a room. It becomes a whole political debate at the Shabbos table. One person says blue, another yellow, another green, another orange. But if you go to someone's house who learns Torah, who lives Torah, who occupies themselves with Torah, you see they don't get consumed by what color to paint a room. Because they realize that's not something that needs to be worried about. And if you look at your Rosh Yeshiva, your Mashkiach, and your Rebbeim, I can tell you, they're always happy, they're always smiling. Because the more you learn Torah, the more you're going to smile. The more you learn Torah, the more happy you're going to be. The more you learn Torah, the more you just want to dance and sing to Hashem, like David and I did last night with Rabbi Ali Erman. The more you learn Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for giving you a purpose and meaning in life. The more you learn Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for giving you a mission to live. The more you learn Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for giving you the Torah and making you a Yid. And I tell you, if anyone's half not sure if they're going to come back Shana Bet, I'm telling you, come back Shana Bet. Rabbi Oblavsky will agree with me. Shana Bet is totally different than Shana Aleph. And I can't tell you, Hashem is giving you the Torah on a silver platter saying, please learn my Torah. May all of us live Ad Mea V'Esri. But I'm telling you, when you're 120, you're going to be upset. I should learn that one Rambam, that Rashi, that Rashba, that Ritva. Hashem has given you an opportunity to learn this Torah in Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh. And when you get depressed about learning Torah, if you get stuck in a Tosfos, think about me who can't even look at the Tosfos. Think what present Hashem is giving to you. If you have any questions, I beg, I get paid per question, please ask me. Anybody? Is anybody here? Okay, so I have to tell you some funny stuff because you're not... One of the benefits of being blind, you get a cane. If you're back at somebody you don't like, you can hit them and tell them it's an accident. A lot of my friends have been hit. So people ask me, was I scared of the operations? And I realized I was too big of a New Yorker. Meaning, one time this chassid came into my room and gave me a silver coin that was, had, you know, I got, had some segula. And he said, put this under the pillow when you're going for the operation. So when I came out to the recovery room, my mother goes, oh, Baruch Hashem, you're alive, you're okay. I go, did the doctor steal the money? And I'll tell you one more, then you guys have to ask questions. So before my fourth surgery, I'm not lying, it's a true story, I asked my newest surgeon, his name is Dr. Sen, he's an Indian guy. I asked him, am I going to die? So he goes, no. So I go, are you the Almighty? So he goes to me, you're right. Statistically, you shouldn't die, but if the Almighty wants to kill you, He'll kill you. But I don't think the Almighty wants to kill you. But if you ask me that question one more time, I'm going to kill you myself. Never use them again. Come on. No questions? Lovely, come on. No questions? Right, Roblowski? What? What's your name, Jess?
David Barra.
Did what?
Bardo.
Where are you from?
Los Angeles.
Okay. Oh, what's his name? Jessica May, great restaurant.
Yeah.
What are you diving at? Just curious.
A shul in Valley, you never heard of?
Nah. But I wish you had luck. I'm being serious. Yeah, so what's your question? You can ask anything. I'm being serious.
Do any Torah publications exist in Braille?
So, I'll tell you this. There's a whole library in Nahavia and Eretz Yisrael that has Braille's father. But I'll tell you something interesting. I asked the Lighthouse for the Blind, do I need to know Braille? I forgot the exact question I asked them, but they said due to today's technology, less and less people are learning Braille today. But they said the ones who are the Fum Yidden because of Shabbos and Yontif. So I tell you, I was studying Braille before the bar exam, and I had a woman teacher, and I asked my Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Parnas, whether you know she's allowed to touch my hand. So Parnas said, let's say yes, if not, not. So David can tell you this, I have a bit of a big mouth. So I told the woman, I prefer you not touching my hand unless you need to. She goes, the Almighty has to make exceptions. I said, the Almighty does. If necessary, yes. If not, not. Then I told, based on Yichud, I'm not allowed to be in the house alone with you. She goes, well, you are. So I go, no, I keep the front door open. What I should have told her was if President Clinton would kept half this stuff, he'd never been in any trouble. David. I came up with a song for against Obama. Can you sing it?
Yeah, please.
Okay, you guys, I came up with a song. Okay, give me a second. Got Obama in your face. Big disgrace. Kicking the flaming, flopping liberal Muslim all over the place. We will. Republican you. Republican. Got Chelsea, got Hillary in your face, big disgrace. Got Chelsea in your face, big disgrace. Waving Hillary the devil all over the place. We will, Republican you. Got Joe Biden in your face, big disgrace. Kicking the flaming liberal who doesn't shut up all over the place. We will, Republican you. David?
Yeah.
So I'm putting on a concert right after Lag BaOmer for the deaf. But also, David, I do not know Braille, but I'm being serious. I have a talking computer phone called JAWS, and it speaks. Like, example, let's say I'm writing to you, I'll say, dear, what I write on the screen, it reads to me. And anything on the screen that you write back to me, say an email, it reads to me. Anything on the screen, it reads to me. But I got to learn Braille a little bit because my friends sometimes put me in the elevator. I go up and down all day not knowing what floor to get out of. But Dave, I have a big question if you can answer me. Go to any drive-by ATM machines. They have Braille on it. I expect to get you. I can't drive. And all ATM machines in New York have Braille on it and does not speak to you. If it does, The whole bank will hear that you're taking $200 from the city of Dubai in New York City. Any other questions? Dave, you're the only one here?
Just your name.
What?
Just your name.
Okay, you want to go for Budweiser later? On you? Any questions, please? What's your name?
Josh Sheldon.
Where you from?
Yeah, New Jersey.
Oh, no, it's a great place.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you went to you, Dave, you went to EULA?
Me? No. I like public school.
Okay, Hatzlacha. I didn't mean to make, I wasn't making fun of you.
No, I...
Okay, yeah, there you go. Hatzlacha, yeah?
Every morning for Shabbos and Mark, especially Shabbos and Shabbos Shabbos, you have it memorized or you have someone with you
for that? So I'll tell you before we answer that, the Bracha Pekeach Ivim, I asked why Rabbeinu Vicky from Mansi, I think Rabban Segel from Yerushalayim, I forgot who said one, but you know, because Pekeach Ivim, Hashem opened my eyes, thank you for letting me see. So one Rav, either way, Benavikya, what Dan Segel said, I should thank Hashem that people like you can help me out, who can see, or I should thank Hashem, I should have kavanah, Hashem will open my eyes. I'm not allowed to make a brachan of Dala, I cannot make, or halakas nei, what's even Chanukah, the Mishabu is not so happy about it. So a Pesha Shechta said, my father should make the brachan, have me mine, light his menorah than light mine. But in relation to davening, so I upon it said to me, for Pesukei Zimra, say the basics, Baruch Shema, Hodu, Ashrei, Yishtabach. If you need help, have someone is davening with you. But Baruch Hashem, you know, I daven day in and day out, I pretty much know it. Shabbos davening, I need a little help with Nishmas Kochai. But the big problem comes on Yontif and Rosh Chodesh, when I need help with Halo. So whatever shul I'm at, I ask a guy, could please daven with me? The guy goes, no problem. And he'll come and start singing the Halo to me. I go, listen, I'm blind, don't make me deaf. But Josh, the hard, your name's Josh, right?
Yeah.
The biggest problem being serious, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Because Halal I pretty much got also, you know, most of the diamond I pick up, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you know, it's very hard. So I told this guy, Robert Spitz, he lives in Hillcrest, he volunteers, he davened Shmoneh Esrei, all Shmoneh Esrei, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's the biggest problem for me, you know. Any other questions?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Tony Brick.
516-398-5533
3355.
Sorry, 698-3533.
Yeah.
Quick, I'm blind.
Do you live by yourself?
I used to live up near YU, like I told you, near the base medish to learn Torah. When I went blind, I moved back home. But I actually, I'm not lying, I tried moving into Cuban Hill to do two different apartments. Oh, thank you for the money. But two different guys said they didn't feel comfortable living with a blind man, so I couldn't do anything, you know. I can live alone. I really can live alone. I think I'll just go crazy. I'll be nuts, you know. I feel like, you know, I think I'll go crazy, be lonely. I very much feel like I can go, the lighthouse for the blind, so everything is like in exact order. My Shabbos socks, one drawer, weekday socks, everything in exact order in my house. So, you know, I know my house. But Brick, do you want to hear a funny story? I once went away for Shabbos to Riverdale. And I put on my suit jacket every Shabbos. I noticed there were three buttons here. I don't remember ever having a three-button suit jacket. So I felt the fabric of the pants and the fabric of the jacket, and they felt different. So my friend goes, no, Levi, it matches. It's beautiful. On the button was some kind of decoration. He goes, no, Levi, it's a beautiful decoration. Don't worry. Motzi Shabbos, I come home. I show my mother the jacket. She goes, you idiot. You wore my jacket all Shabbos. True story. And dog, you know what? Chutzpah, she wanted it back. she said, didn't anyone tell you walking around with a woman's coat? And I go, no, but I kept getting pushed into the Ezra's Nelson for some reason. Any other questions? What's your name, Jess?
Jacob Roth.
Where are you from?
Chicago.
Oh, Ken's dying, a great place. I mean, say what? I believe when Mashiach comes, everyone's going to get a burger buddy from Shemai. You don't like that? Come on. What?
It's just so good.
Wait, what's your name again, Ty?
Jacob,
you don't think Ken's diner is incredible?
No, it's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, okay, go.
How long did it take you to adjust?
So it depends what you mean adjust. You have to, you know, I know how to use a cane. I know how to use my talking computer. I guess different areas were different stages in my life. But I'll tell you, like I said before, Hashem won't give you a nisayon, won't give you a test you cannot handle. So my brother-in-law warned me that after the bar, I'm going to get depressed. But from, you know, when I first went blind in December, and I told you from January till end of July, I didn't really have much time to think about the blindness because I was studying for my law school finals and for the bar. So after the bar exam, I did get depressed, I'm not going to lie. But if I think when I first went blind, I had time to think about my blindness, I'd be totally depressed. I wouldn't be able to move. So that's what I'm trying to say. When Hashem made me a blind doctor at the last semester of law school and with finals and a bar, because he knew that I wouldn't be able to, he knew that if I'd have time to think about the blindness, I would never be able to handle it. And you see, Hashem won't give you a nisayon, won't give you a test you can't handle. Now, I'm not going to lie, there's different stages of life, you know, that I adjust differently. Like, I'm not going to lie, it took me a long time for the computer. I'm using it now, but, you know, I'm sending emails out. You know, it depends what different stages of adjusting. But different stages, yeah. I don't know if I answered your question fully, but I apologize, Jacob, if I didn't answer it fully. Any other questions?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Ellie Schwartz.
What do you say? Ellie Schwartz? Ellie, you said?
Yeah.
What's where you're from?
Upper West Side.
Okay.
How is
you just got a prime girl, you know.
What? I'm not much of a restaurant.
What?
I'm not much of a restaurant.
Okay, no, I'm sorry, yeah.
How is this affecting your professional life?
So, I tell you, when I was working as a lawyer, someone had to read me the documents, and I would tell the reader, highlight this, underline this, you know, that's how I would have to work. That's the only way for me to work, you know, if someone reads it to me. In fact, the company I was working for contacted an organization that deals with blind people, and they said you can't send the document over on a computer, because I think the pshat is that the computer speaks too fast, I won't be able to pick up the nuances that needs to be changed in that document. And in fact, I know someone who's born blind, he also has readers, you know. Because the benefit of a reader, you can tell the reader, stop here, you know, a computer just zips by, and by the time you stop it, you know, it takes you forever. So that's how I have to adjust. But I tell you, one of the benefits of being blind, you can sleep at work, they have no idea you're sleeping. The only problem is I snore too loud.
Yeah.
But that's those some of the adjustments I had. Any other questions?
Yeah.
David, can you pick people because I can't see?
Justin behind me. Justin Wexler.
But it's someone up there, so yeah?
Justin Wexler.
Where are you from?
Tampa, New Jersey.
Oh, okay, from wait, what's who just asked me, Tina? Go, Josh.
Noah's Ark.
Yeah, but Josh over there is from Tina, also. Yeah.
So, do you have trouble getting around? Like, if you get into a taxi, how do you know that they're taking you to the right place?
So, like I tell you before, I really believe Hashem's holding my hand. There are times I should have gotten lost. I'll tell you a story, Justin. This happened to me once. The cab driver dropped me off at my house. I go into my house and I sit on the couch. I start hearing Chinese. I'll be honest, that was a little fable. I didn't see it on the couch, but when I knocked on the door and the Chinese man answered, I realized that I was the wrong house. But it was very nice. The Chinese man walked me home. And another hard with a cab driver, I was going to my friend's house, Menachem Linzer, who used to live in Riverdale. He actually now lives in Chicago. He's principal of Highlight. So, I asked the cab driver, you know, in front of the apartment building, could you guide me? So the cab driver sticks his head out the window, make a right, make a left. As I'm falling down the steps, watch for the steps! I go, thank you, buddy. You know, it's a little too late now. But I can't explain to you, there are times I should have gotten lost. I tell you, Hashem has given me extra shmiras at watching me. You know, there was one time, back from the cab driver dropped me off half a block where I lived. I had no idea where he was at 12 o'clock at night. This guy, Yehuda Fogel, went up and down every block to find it. You know, I can't tell you, I tell you this, Justin, I don't know. Hashem's watching me. That's all I can tell you. Hashem watches every Jew, don't get me wrong. Every Jew is a child of Hashem. But I'm telling you, I feel the shmira. There are times I should have gotten lost, you know, but Hashem makes sure I get home somehow. Any other questions?
Yeah.
David, you have to pick.
Yeah. Okay. R.A. Friedman.
From where?
West Hempstead.
Oh, Humphrey's great, yeah. Yeah, go.
How do you handle money? You said with the ATM that New York will be on your case. And
So I do this. Well, everyone does it. I'm a big New Yorker. And what's your name, Avi? Avon?
Ari.
Oh, yeah, I just have to tell you, I know this kick, so you don't need to get I've been waxing on and waxing off a lot. So I'm easy. So I clip my tens. And like, for example, I'll put ones here and fives in my pocket. You know, example, you know, the Lighthouse for the Blind said blind people have different techniques how to know the bills. But interesting, the blind people sued the U.S. government a couple of years ago saying that bills should be made, like I heard in Europe, I don't know if that's true, but in Europe, bills are different shapes. So it's easier for a blind person to know it. And the court ruled that the U.S. government has to do that, but George Bush said we're spending too much money, so he refused to do it. I know what, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm hoping Obama will do, because Obama's just spending like a maniac, you know? You know, but that's how I handle my money. There are times I probably do make mistakes, but people help me out. So, like Israeli money, I don't know because I don't live here, you know, yet.
So what about with if someone gives you change?
So usually I'll ask for singles, you know what I'm saying? Let's say I give a 10 and expect 5 singles back. I only get 2, you know what I'm saying? But there was once a beggar, a non-Jewish guy. I thought I gave him a 5, he said I gave him a 1. And I said, let's put it this way, the guy's now swimming in the Hudson River face down. Let's put it this way, John Gotti Jr. spoke to him on my behalf. You know, but that was the only time I think I ever got ripped off. You know what I'm saying? At Baruch Hashem, I never got ripped, you know, because I usually give 10s. If I know the product is worth 7, I should get back 3. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But let me tell you, are you?
Yeah.
I tell him, I might be blind, but I'm not stupid, I'm not George Bush. Any other questions?
Yeah.
David, you have to pick from there also. Yeah, also.
Josh Kamenetsky from Boca Raton, Florida.
Oh, you know my good friend Ari Bernstein?
No.
Benji Horowitz, guy?
No, I have Benji.
He's about Ben Sugarman?
Oh, Benji Horowitz.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know them that well, but I know Ari Bernstein, I know very well. Yeah, go anyway.
Do you feel any resentment towards any doctors that may have misled you? For example, the doctor said that doing these computer exercises would help when you're in the gym and you could have been in the chamber potentially saved.
No, I don't feel any resentment. I feel if this is what Hashem wants, this is what it's going to be. I'm not going to lie, the Shulchan Aruch, if you have to listen to a doctor, you have to go to a doctor. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to go to a doctor. Example, let's say 99 doctors will tell you you have to fasten Yom Kippur, and one says you don't fasten Yom Kippur. That's a famous Shulchan Aruch Mechaber. But I'm trying to say you have to go to a doctor. It's a mitzvah nishmasem es nafshu seichem. You have to take care of yourself and you have to go to the doctor. But at the end of the day, you have to realize, my friend, it's not the doctors controlling you, it's Hashem. Hashem decreed I had to go blind. It wasn't the doctors. I mean, yes, you have to do everything possible, but I have no hatred against any of them. This is what Hashem wants. This is what Hashem wants. There's nothing I can do. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing. You know what I'm saying? The guy who did the exercise, none of those doctors did any malpractice. They did nothing wrong at all. So why should I resent it? It's all from Hashem. And if it's for Hashem, it must be for my best. And I tell everyone, maybe one of the reasons Hashem made me blind, besides teaching me the importance of learning Torah, is also to teach me to keep me away from the schmutz of the world, the schmutz of Olam Hazeh. I heard this world is a lot of preachers all around the place. If that's the reason, maybe Hashem wants to keep me away from the preachers from looking at it. I have no idea, but everything Hashem does is for my best. Any other questions?
Daniel Weiss.
Where are you from?
LA.
You know David from LA?
Yeah.
He's a great guy. Yeah.
Do you remember what colors they look like?
Yeah, I remember colors. I remember people's faces a little bit. My mind plays games on me. I do remember what people look like, but I'll tell you this, Daniel, I have no idea how I look. I really have no idea. I know I'm very good looking, I just don't have it. You know, Daniel, next week I'm going to be on the front page of a magazine, Mr. Blind Man GQ. I'm just very good looking. I can't tell you that, Daniel. But I'm being serious, Daniel. I have no idea how I look because, example, when I could see, I maybe looked in the mirror once or twice for a second. Obviously, I saw my friends on my parents' faces more than I saw myself. And being that I'm blind for 12 years, I really have no idea how I look. But I do remember colors, yeah, of course. I remember what pizza looks like, yeah, I remember all this stuff, for sure. You have to realize, Daniel, my memory's increased tremendously. I know about 100, 150 phone numbers in my head. You know? In fact, can I ask you guys for a favor? Mm-hmm. Can I ask everyone for a favor?
Yeah.
Can I give you a phone number because this guy doesn't have many friends? Can you call him? Ellie Hurt, 05. What's so funny? That was a personal joke?
You see it right here?
What?
Right here.
Yeah, so his number is 052-618-67. He bothers a blind man 20 times a day. No, but I'm being serious. Ellie Hurt is a big sad. Can you give him a round of applause? But Daniel, I'm being serious. All my senses increased. Yeah, any other questions?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Moshe Simon.
Where are you from?
I'm East Florida.
Oh, what's your name? Sam, this is Sam. What are you, Davin?
I'm Davin at New Shul called Alice.
Who's the rabbi?
I'm a UMass.
No. Okay? You go, the Rabbi Gross is a Rosh Kollel there, the Lake with Kollel.
Oh, yeah.
Great man. Okay?
Do you dream in color?
So I'm not sure if I dream in color. Now, I thought I do, but I can't tell you, but I do remember my dreams much more than ever before. I once had this dream, I still remember her face, I'm not lying to you. The cops were chasing this woman, caught her, she broke out of the handcuffs, shot them down and came running after me. I must have had a bad shit update the night before. I still remember it was 3:47 in the morning, I came running to my parents' room to sleep, and my parents, my mother locked her, don't you ever come back here again if you want to live. I'm just joking. Actually, my parents would never do that to me. Actually, I don't want to my parents' bed either. I'm not a little kid, I don't want any more to my parents. My parents would be open arms, but I do remember my dreams, but I'll tell you this, I asked a guy who's born blind, there's a guy in Detroit, he's born blind, he doesn't see in his dreams, because he doesn't know what life looks like. Like, one of my walking teachers told me his 10-year-old nephew, the way he describes a human being is like a monster. I guess he's probably talking about Obama, but you know, what I'm trying to say is that blind people who are born blind don't know what, like, I don't know what you look like, but I know what a human being looks like. I think I saw in color, but I can't be for sure. But what's your name again? I'm sorry, Mr. Miami?
Moshe Simon.
So last night I had the best dream pass of my life, but I realized it was just a dream. I had a dream that the Mets finally had a winning season. You know, every time I go near Citi Field, I say Yiskin Kaddish for them. And I tell Kahana they're not allowed near Citi Field because it's one big graveyard. You know, the Mets got a new player today. The Mets got John McCain. Any other questions? Talk with anyone else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what's your name?
Ari.
Where are you from?
Baltimore. Is there anything you really regret not doing while you were able to save?
So I'll tell you one thing, Mr. Raskus, I do regret not doing. Well, are you related to Raskus from St. Louis?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I just met the woman, the Mrs. Raskus from St. Louis. One of the things I do regret is not taking advantage of learning Torah like I should have. I should have taken advantage, I should have learned much more Torah than I did. That's what I do regret. Like, if I knew I was going to go blind, maybe that would have pushed me to learn more Torah. But I regret not learning the amount of Torah that I should have done. I waste a lot of time. I was a very big battle machine. You know, so that's the one thing I do regret. Any other questions? No other questions?
Do you know what time lunch is?
Lunch is 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock?
One past.
Michael, are you going blind because you want to come with me? It's 1 o'clock, you know, I'm telling you, Rabbi Yoshin, you and I can speak together, blind man. I'm just joking, Rabbi Yoshin. But any other questions? So I'll tell you this, if I embarrass anybody, I ask for forgiveness from the bottom of my heart. But I tell you this, I think Rabbi Yoshin agrees with me. Take advantage of learning Torah. May all of you live and be well. And the next couple of months, I told Shraga, don't say, oh, I wasted my whole year. You can always open a Gemara, a Mishnah Berurah, whatever, a Mesivas Yisham, whatever you want, a Rambam. You can always learn Torah. Take advantage of it. I'm telling you, don't waste this rest of the year. You have a couple of months left. Take advantage of learning Torah. And I tell you this, before you go to sleep at night, think of one good thing that happened to you and say, Hashem, I thank you. And when you do it on a nightly basis, you thank Hashem for everything that happened to you during that day, you see how wonderful, how kindful, how incredible, how merciful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and how much He loves you. And also get close to your Rashiva, your Mashkiach, and your Bayim. I'm telling you, take advantage of it. And always be there for a Jew who needs help. I wish all you guys a Batzlacha, Simcha, Briyot, and Torah in your life.
Amen.
Rabbi Yoshin?
Yes, I love you.